Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, and we continue our series, Carpenters Union Messages, on lives that were changed by coming into contact with Jesus, the carpenter, but more than the carpenter. In Luke chapter 8, we have three verses about Mary Magdalene, and it's intriguing to see that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four Gospels have something to say about Mary Magdalene. She fits in very well with the others in Scripture that were changed by the Lord Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus, changed from humility to honor, Nicodemus from religionist to relative, Zacchaeus from cheater to contributor, the woman at the well from an outcast to being outspoken, the demon-possessed man from tormented to being a teller of the great things Jesus had done for him, the man born blind from blind to blessed, and Lazarus from dead to dynamic, and the thief on the cross from condemned to comforted. And today we come to Mary Magdalene, Mary from Magdala, changed by Jesus from demonic bondage and oppression to delightful ministry to Jesus. A Friday night, before the children and youth came into the auditorium for the closing drama and offering and all of that, there was an incident on our sidewalk. Two young men, ages 10 to 12, something like that, walked by, and a mop was drying on the sidewalk, and they took the mop, and a couple parents were there, and they said, "What are you doing?" And they proceeded to break the mop and said, "We hate church, we hate Jesus, we worship the devil," and they went on their way. Could they have been just vandalizing and just saying words? Possibly. Or could they have really meant that? Very possibly. We live in a world with the increase of the occult and Satanism and demonism. It's nothing new. It's very old. But what's new in our day in America is that it's becoming popular, accepted. And so you have people from the Church of Satan going to city council meetings, and where there would be an invocation, a prayer offered at the beginning of the meeting, you have people from the Church of Satan, even in protest with people protesting against them, praying to the devil before a city council meeting. This has happened right here in America. Unbelievable. It's nothing new, but this is not new either. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Praise God for that. Mary Magdalene in the time of Jesus was a woman possessed of demons, but she came into life-changing contact with Jesus Christ. She was set free, and God is still able to do that. Dear Father, open our hearts and our minds to your truth, your word today, and show us these deep spiritual realities, and show us the power of the resurrected Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. We will be going to different Gospels, so hold your finger in Luke chapter 8, but be ready to go to other places as well. Notice Luke chapter 8, verse 1. "Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, women who were changed by coming into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says specifically here of Mary Magdalene in verse 2, out of whom had come seven demons. Demons had dominated this woman. Demons had been in control of her life. Before she met Jesus, she was possessed, not by one, not by two, not by five, but by seven demons. They were dominating her life, taking control over her life, and she lived in misery before she came to Christ. You see, the devil is a deceiver. He lives and works in the realm of lies and deceit. And his lie is this: follow me and you will have pleasure and fun, and your life will be full. You will be so happy if you just follow me. But what he really does is destroy a life as he dominates it by his power. Jesus said in John 10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. We either have abundant life in Christ or we're listening to the lies of the evil one. And let me tell you, if there's anyone here or anyone on sermon audio that may hear these words, know this, that the devil promises but does not deliver happiness and fullness of life. And what he really gives is emptiness and bondage and slavery and a destroyed life. That's what he really delivers. And his eternity is punishment away from God forever. That's where he leads. But he's very clever. And if he can make evil look good, and if he can cause people to accept it and promote it, then he's accomplished his role of deception. Listen, the devil understands that he's at enmity with God, and he will fight and do everything he can to take people to hell with him. We serve a triumphant, victorious Savior. We were singing about that earlier, victory in Jesus. Mary Magdalene experienced this. She was demonized, but secondly, she was delivered. And that's a key word in all of these contexts that we see. Delivered. She was transformed. She was saved. She came into contact with Jesus, and life was different for her. It was not the same as it was before. Jesus healed her. Look here in chapter 8 of Luke, verse 2. I love this. Certain women who had been healed of evil spirits. So the demonic beings bring affliction, even physical affliction, but a terrible sickness of the soul. And Jesus healed her. He cast out these demons. He removed them from her. Jesus healed her. He cast out the demons. But something is intriguing here in this passage. Look at verse 1. It came to pass afterward that he went, Jesus went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings. Here's the word for it: to preach the gospel, to bring good news. Jesus was preaching good news. He was bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Mary heard Jesus teaching and his preaching and the hope that he could bring. Isn't that great? Verse 2 is not divorced from verse 1. It was Jesus' ministry to go about teaching, preaching, casting out demons, healing. It all fit together in a powerful package. Jesus taught her. He preached and taught and healed. Mary received his ministry, and Mary's life was changed by what Jesus had to say and by the power that he conveyed from God. Jesus changed her life. So what are we to do today? We're to preach the word of God. As dark as the society gets, what do? Preach the word of God. What do you do? As individual believers, we all are called upon to preach the good news, to share the gospel. That's what changes hearts and lives. And you work with some miserable person, you're there for a reason. Look at it like that. To share the light of Christ there. You work with someone, you have someone in your family that's miserable. You don't know what pain they may be going through, or maybe you do, but you're there to shed the light. You're there to share the gospel. And, you know, one of the things I like to do in going to public places, business, you know, bank or someplace, and you see someone that's just really grumpy, I just like to see if I can get them to smile or laugh or something. We are here to share the gospel with miserable people who are dying and on their way to hell. The big picture is to show them about Jesus who can save and who can deliver. That's why God left us here. May we not fail in that, but may we shine the light brightly. Mary Magdalene was delivered by Jesus. Teaching, preaching, ministry. We have the responsibility today to be a lighthouse. How many people, I wonder, walk by this place who would have the same sentiment as those young boys? I hate church. I hate God. I hate Jesus. I don't imagine that they're the first ones who've had those thoughts. We're here to shine the light and love of Jesus all around. May God help us to deliver people through the power of the gospel. Thirdly, I see that Mary, after Jesus changed her, became very devoted. Devoted. Jesus cast the demon out of her. What transformation, what freedom came to her. And Mary became very devoted. I learned something from this. Grace demonstrates itself in service. When Jesus changes a life, it demonstrates itself in service to him. And that's biblical. Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Grace that saves teaches the one saved to serve. Grace that saves teaches the one saved to serve. And that's what happened here in the testimony of Mary Magdalene. Go back to Mark chapter 15, and let's notice something here. Mark chapter 15, and notice verse 40. There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses and Salome. They're looking on at the cross of Jesus. But here's what I want you to notice first. Verse 41. Who also followed him. Mary became devoted to the Lord Jesus. She pursued Christ. She was in pursuit of Jesus. Would everyone look up here just for a minute? You know Jesus is your Savior? Are you pursuing Christ? What is pursuit? Is this pursuit? Is that pursuit? Or is this pursuit? You're going to go find it. You're going there. You're after Christ. And I think we have churches in America filled with people who are just lollygagging. Even are they really even in Christ? They're not pursuing. Paul said that I may know him. He was pursuing Jesus to his final breath of life. He wants us to follow hard after him, to pursue after him, to be devoted to him. Mary pursued Jesus. She loved him. She followed after him. She never got over what he had done for her. And may we not get over what Jesus has done for us. He's forgiven our sins. He's given us eternal life. We had a little discussion on our way to church this morning. Friends, how is it that some Christians are content with coming to church once a month or once every 2 months? Pursue Christ. Follow hard after him. Be a part of the work of God. And if we're not pursuing Christ, then why? Are we spiritually sick? Or have we never been born again? Are we content to go week after week and not read the Word of God for ourselves? One of the evidences that we're knowing Christ is when we have a hunger for his word. That's pursuing Christ. Mary pursued him. I just love that. She followed after Christ. But that's not all. Look at the next thing in verse 41, Mark 15. Who also followed him, and she wasn't alone. Other women were doing this too. And ministered to him. You know what word is translated ministered? Diakoneo, where we get our word deacon. It means to serve. They ministered to him. They were serving him. First is the pursuit of Christ, and second is the service of Christ. Sometimes people get this backwards. We don't serve before we pursue. First is knowing Christ and then serving. First is being and then doing. Being, that is, we're born again through faith in Christ, we're growing in him, and then we serve. And some religious groups get it totally mixed, and they say, serve, 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 in order that you can know Christ. No, that's backwards. You know Christ, you come to him in faith, and come to him in salvation, and then you serve. We serve because we're saved, not in order to be saved. Or in order to be kept saved. No, we pursue after Christ, and an outflow of that is ministry to him. Don't you just love that? They followed him. They heard him. They listened to him. They saw his miracles. They heard his teaching. They heard him expound the word of God. And then they served. They ministered to him. It's a beautiful picture. They helped Jesus. They gave to Jesus. And that leads us to this next point. Go back to Luke chapter 8, verse 3. All right, so far we've been in two Gospels. Luke chapter 8, verse 3. Notice a very interesting phrase here. It talks about Mary Magdalene and then Joanna and Susanna, Luke 8, 3, and many others. And notice the last line or so of Luke 8, 3. Who provided for him from their substance. Giving to Christ. It's an outgrowth of service. In fact, the idea of serve there may even imply that they provided his needs. Think of this. Jesus needed to eat. He was a human being. He needed something to drink. He needed clothes to wear. He needed hospitality. He needed a place to sleep. He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And these faithful, godly women supplied his needs. They gave food to him. They helped him. But how did it begin? Changed by Jesus, and then they pursued him. See, this devotion that Mary had included pursuit, serving, ministering, and giving to him. A model for us. Pursue Jesus. Minister to him. Give to him. When we get a handle on Romans 12, 1 and 2, it helps us with everything. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. When we give ourselves to the Lord, it's everything. It's who we are. It's our time, it's our talents, And yes, it's our treasure. It's the whole package. Listen, is there anything that I have? Is there anything that you have that was not given to you by God? He gave us everything, but he says, I want you to give it back to me. And you give it back to me, I will bless you, and I will use it for eternity. Mary was devoted to the Lord Jesus. Are you devoted today? Is Jesus important to you? Have you given your life to him as a believer? That's devotion. Not a tip to God. Not, okay, Lord, I can spare an hour once a month. No, Lord, here is everything. Take it, use it, multiply it for your honor and glory. I tell you, it is the difference, a radical difference, when a believer in Jesus Christ goes through Romans 12, 1 and 2, and how richly blessed they are. I love some translations of Luke 8, 3, the last part. Here's one about these women who were contributing to their support out of their private means. Another one, who provided for them out of their own resources. Another one, who were supporting them from their possessions. They provided financial support for Jesus and his disciples. I like that. God's Word for the Nations translation. They provided financial support for Jesus and his disciples. That spoke to their devotion. Mary and other women shared with Jesus from their financial blessings. They hoped to care for his day-to-day material needs. Several years ago, I was on the board of a Christian college for a short time. And I remember a story I heard. One of the emphases on this board was fundraising and so on. And I heard a story, I think it was one of the board members told this. There was some Christian ministry, and a wealthy donor came, or a potential donor. And so a board member was taking him around, showing him the ministry. And apparently this board member was also a person of means. And the donor said, I will contribute to the cause here. I'll be glad to do that. He said to the board member, so what did you contribute? And it wasn't a whole lot. And he said, well, I'll be glad to match that. I'll do the same. And everybody, I suppose, was disappointed. You see, these women were devoted. They gave generously from their means. And God wants us to give all of us to him. He wants us to give all ourselves to him. Now, it doesn't mean that God's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, empty out your bank account into the offering. I'm not suggesting that. I mean, God may do that for someone, but that's not necessarily the point. It's the heart attitude. Lord, here I am. Here is all of my life. Here's my talents. I'm pursuing Jesus. I'm ministering to Jesus. And I'm giving to Jesus. All of that. Mary gave us such an example. And they were blessed to be able to be among Jesus' financial supporters. Think about that. They ministered to his needs out of their abundance, out of the things that they had. And Luke 8, 3 provided for him from their substance, the things that were personal to them. Out of their own resources, they ministered to Jesus. Well, this is bright and sunny, devoted. And now we turn a corner. And Mary, number 4, is disappointed. I'm so interested in this. She had been delivered by Jesus, and now she is disappointed. How? Did she face a crisis? Go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. And please, no one misunderstand when I say pursue Christ and how can you be content to only come to church some. I'm not talking about when you're ill, when there's physical needs. I'm talking about when you're able, but Jesus is just second, third, fourth place. Matthew 27, verse 55, notice this. and many women who followed Jesus. There it is. Again, from Galilee, ministering to him. There it is again. Were there looking on from afar. I want you to notice in these accounts how the emphasis is placed on women. Wherever the gospel has gone, the place of women is elevated. When a biblical understanding is made, women are elevated. And what happens when you have a society that begins to degrade and victimize women and objectify them, as is done in pornography, and put them down? It speaks to the values and the loss of morals in that society. And we are there as a nation, degrading women. Where the gospel goes, women are elevated. And so here, many women were following Jesus. And I want you to notice the last part of verse 55. They were looking on from afar. What was it they were looking on? Verse 56 says, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. On what were they looking? Go back to verse 45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. Why? Well, go back to verse 35. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Verse 38, two robbers were crucified with him. What were they looking on? They were looking on Jesus hanging on the cross. They felt the thick darkness that came on the land. In verse 54, likely they heard the centurion and those who were guarding Jesus, feeling the earthquake, say, truly, this was the Son of God. Mary saw Jesus hanging on a cross, and that's why I say she faced disappointment. A crisis. The one who had saved her and delivered her is here hanging and dying right in front of her eyes. Can you imagine what that was like? Now go to John's Gospel, chapter 19. And we have a little more detail here. John chapter 19 and verse 25. Now there stood by, alongside the cross of Jesus, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. From afar, she has moved closer, and here she's standing near the cross of Jesus. She's watching him in agony suffer there. Now, go back to Matthew 27. Thank you for having nimble fingers and tracing with me. Matthew 27, we see her disappointment even further. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 61, it tells us something very interesting here. She watched him be hung on the cross. She watched him die. Go back to verse 59. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. She watched Jesus' burial in the tomb. She was opposite the tomb. And Mark's gospel tells us the same. In Mark 15:47, it says specifically that she saw the place where Jesus was placed. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, observed where he was laid. They saw the tomb. They saw the burial. They saw the stone rolled in front of the tomb. Can you imagine the attitude of their hearts at this disappointment? The grief of seeing your own dear friend and Savior in this account hang on the cross in agony. Can you visualize what it was like for Mary to see Jesus' lifeless body placed in the grave and the grinding of the stone as the stone was rolled in front of the door of the tomb? And it seemed like it was all over. Disappointed. Her disappointment led then to dismay, some confusion. And go back to John's Gospel, chapter 20. And this account gives the first of the tomb encounters. Mary comes to the tomb. John chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She came probably to anoint the body, to bring spices to the tomb. The stone is gone. What is this? Perplexed. Verse 2, then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, and said to them, truly they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they've laid him. Who moved the stone? Who took him away? She's dismayed. She doesn't know what's going on. And now she's in a state of weeping by the tomb. She ran to Peter and John. They came back. They saw the tomb. And verse 10 says, then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Verse 11, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. Weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. She's in a state of weeping by the tomb. And she has a conversation with these tomb visitors, two angels. Verse 12, she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Here is eyewitness account that the tomb is empty, that Jesus is not there in the tomb. And Mary saw it, and she saw these two glorious angels. And they speak to her. Amazing. They said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him. She's weeping. She has a conversation with the angels. She told them why she was sad. She's dismayed. But that's not all. In verse 14, now when she had said this, she turned around. Now, get this. She has stooped down. She's looked into the tomb. And now she's turning around. So right near this empty tomb, there's someone else who's come. She turns around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. She saw but didn't recognize him. In verse 15, we see her supposition. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? The angels asked that. Now Jesus is asking that. Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. I'll take care of the body. Was there any expectation at this point that Jesus was alive? No. She didn't see it. She didn't understand. She thought he was the gardener. And she said, listen, just tell me where the body is. I'll be the custodian of the body. I'll take care of it. Then we have Mary's delight. From disappointed to dismayed. And now she is delighted. Go back to Matthew 28. Her great surprise. Dramatic events took place. And here Matthew records another appearance of Jesus, this time to Mary and women. But look at this, Matthew 28. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. You know what that means? They were out cold. They passed out. Tough Roman guards passed out. Don't you love it? What a great surprise. And then the angel speaks in verse 5. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Mary comes to the tomb to her delight. There are these dramatic events, and now there are these dynamic words. The angel teaches four things about Jesus. First of all, he was crucified. The angel affirms that. Yes, he was crucified. The second thing, he's not here. He's not in this tomb. Remember, Mary sat opposite the tomb. She saw that tomb. She saw them put Jesus' body there. He's not here, the angel says. And then the angel says, he's risen. And I love the invitation to come and examine the evidence. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. The Bible and biblical Christianity is never afraid of honest investigators, interrogators, questioners. It will stand up because there's evidence. And here was the evidence. Come, see the place. What an invitation where the Lord lay. Here was a wonderful, wonderful event. Her tremendous and dramatic surprise. And now her wonderful joy. Back to John chapter 20 and verses 14 through 16. Look what happens here. She thought he was the gardener until verse 16. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. It's a heightened form of rabbi, my great one. And here is a term of respect. Here is a term of honor and reverence that she speaks to Jesus. And when did she recognize him? When he called her name. He called her name. And I can only imagine that now she remembers that voice that rebuked those seven demons and told them to leave. And now that person is calling her name. Here's a wonderful thing, friends. When we know Jesus, he knows us by name. No one ever cared for me like Jesus, the songwriter said, absolutely right. The devil will tempt you. No one cares. No one knows anything about you. God doesn't even care. He's left you. It's all a lie. God cares. He knows all about you. He cares about your burdens. He cares about your concerns. He knows you by name. And if you're here without Christ, he knows you by name. And he cares for you. Jesus died on the cross for sinners. I want you to note well Mary's answer, Rabboni, respect, reverence. And note well this, Jesus' first resurrection appearance was to Mary, the sinner saved by grace, the demonized woman who was delivered, and Jesus came to her first. Not to John the Beloved, but to Mary Magdalene. That shouts, it shouts the grace of God. God is the God of second chances, forgiveness, cleansing. Our past can be forgiven and gone and not held against us. And we see that here with Jesus and Mary Magdalene. And now go back to Matthew. We see her enthusiastic worship in Matthew 28 in verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. So much so that Jesus had to say, "Don't hold on to me. Don't cling to me. I'm on a mission. I'm ascending to my Father." They were holding on to his feet. I wonder if it was a kind of grip, a kind of hug around his ankles that said, "I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you out of my sight anymore." Jesus said, "No, you got to let go. I'm ascending to my Father." Jesus had delivered Mary from these demonic oppression. And how much love and gratitude toward Jesus do you think she had? Full of love and gratitude. The value, the power of worship to Christ. And here, a wonderful hug of adoration and bowing before him and submission to him. She was so grateful. She was indeed delighted. But that's not all. There's something else we got to look at. Back to John chapter 20. But don't lose Matthew. Mary was delegated. She had a job. Jesus, the resurrected Christ, delegated to her a special task. John chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Go tell the brothers that I have accomplished the mission. I'm going home to the Father. Go and tell." God is so much about going and telling. The great commission Jesus gave is go make disciples of all the nations. And it started right here with Mary. Go and tell my disciples. Go and tell my brethren that I'm ascending to the Father. I think it's one way of saying, go and tell about the finished work that I have done. That's our mission, my friends, to tell about the finished work of Christ, that Jesus died on the cross to bear our sins. Nothing else has to be done to be saved. Just accept that, believe that, commit to that truth. Accept the reality of Jesus' resurrection into your life. Go and tell. Go and tell. May God help us to be those who speak the truth and don't hold it in, who are bold to speak for Jesus, because a world dying in darkness needs the light of Christ, needs us to go and tell. Mary Magdalene announced something very special. Go back to Matthew 28, verse 7. "And go quickly," the angel said, "go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Jesus sent her to go and tell, and here the angel is sending her to go and tell. Go quickly with this news. He's risen from the dead, and indeed he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Go and tell the good news that Jesus is alive. Mary was delegated by Jesus himself, delegated by the angels at the tomb. Go and tell the 12 that Jesus is risen. What is it that we say when we announce the gospel? That Jesus is risen. The commission is to go and tell. Go and tell others the good news that Jesus Christ is alive. We do not serve a dead Savior, but a living Savior. I love this quote, this line from the Nelson Study Bible that says, "Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus had cast seven demons, was the last one at the cross and the first one at the grave. Isn't that great? She saw Jesus hanging on the cross, saw him placed in the tomb, and she saw him alive from the grave, and Jesus said, "Go and tell." So I want to expand on the power statement. Mary Magdalene, from demonized to delivered, to devoted, but look at this dip, to disappointed, to dismayed, but now we come uphill, to delighted and to delegated. Isn't it interesting that Mary, who had this marvelous deliverance, also faced a valley, the disappointment, the dismay? Mary's life shows that even when our lives are changed by Jesus, it does not mean that we will never face hardship again. It's a lie when people proclaim this stuff, that if you really follow Jesus, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's not true. You may or may not be. Mary didn't experience that. She had this disappointment and this dismay. But here's the truth. We may face hardship. We may face persecution. But Jesus will be there and will see us through. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. I think it was last Sunday that I mentioned in prayer a little girl that's on our prayer sheet. Her name is Leah Sharibu. She's a Christian girl in Nigeria. And I think it was on Wednesday night or some point I said, I don't know what has happened to her. I haven't heard anything. And just this week, I opened this newsletter from Samaritan Ministry, and there's a page here, Prayer for the Persecuted Church, and my eye caught this. Girl 16 still held captive. A 16-year-old Nigerian girl kidnapped by terrorist group Boko Haram in 2018 with more than 100 other girls spent her second birthday in a row in captivity. International Christian Concern says Leah Sharibu's birthday was on March 14th. The lone Christian in the kidnapped group, she is the only one of the kidnapped girls who has not been released. Pray that Leah will be released soon for more attention to be paid to her case and for Leah to stay safe and strong in her Christian faith. Isn't it amazing? Here is a Christian woman, young woman, who may be in the disappointed, dismayed stage, but isn't God good to bring to attention, brothers and sisters in Christ, her case, to pray for her? And I just praise God that he brought this news across my table that I might not normally read all of this, but I saw that right after we'd said that. We know something about her now. But you know what? The fact that God brought this to our attention for prayer shows us Jesus has not left her. She is not alone. 15, 16, birthday in prison for Christ. I want to pray right now for her. Dear Father, you know all about Leah, and we praise you for that. And we praise you that she's not alone. Will you strengthen her, encourage her, build her up, fill her with the joy that can only come from you. And Lord, somehow help her to know that your people are praying for her. We praise you that we can do this because Jesus is alive. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. My friends, Jesus changes lives. Has he changed yours? If not, run to him in faith. Believe the good news of the gospel. It's not your works, it's what Jesus has done.